Hello, my name's Kate Rolls and I'm interviewing you for the Wellcome Trust as you're taking part in Anthony Gormley's artwork One and Other. The date today is the 23rd of August 2009 and the time is 6:15 p.m. If I can please ask you to say your full name, your age and where you come from.
My name is Victoria Findlay Smythe. I'm 46. I live in Scotland, but as you can tell probably by my voice, I was born in the USA, in California. I just became a citizen in June of this year. So I have dual citizenship. It's very exciting.
And you're here today to take part in One Another. What was it that motivated you to apply? Why did you decide to put yourself forward for this?
Well, there were several reasons. I do believe that public art is extremely important in a civilized nation, and so I support it. I also thought it would be fun. I just thought it would be a lark, and I didn't think I'd get chosen, as I'm sure everyone says, but I thought it'd be just fun to stand up there and, you know, something to tell the grandkids about.
And when you found out that you had got a place and you were going to be part of this work of art, how do you decide how to spend your hour on the plinth?
Well, that's a good question, because I'd been watching it. It's very addictive watching everyone on the plinth, so I would check it out all the time online. And it's kind of morphed into something different. Originally, I enjoy the people who just stand there. Although the guy who dressed as Godzilla was fabulous, and you know, and the majority of the people seem to be up there for a cause, and very worthy causes they all are. But it didn't really sit right with me. I couldn't choose just one cause. There's so many I support. So I thought, as a writer, I thought, well, maybe I'll just develop a character and let her stand for something. So I developed a character called Ginger Smith, and she has red hair like I do. And she is the head of the RSPCR, which is the Royal Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Redheads. Mm-hmm. And she takes this very seriously, very earnest in her dedication to this charity to, you know, fight the abuse of the unknown minority, redheads. And which is interesting because I come from America, and from Southern California specifically. So I grew up with blondes, and I was the only redhead in my school. And so when I finally moved to Britain, I thought, okay, I'm here with my people. It'll be fabulous. I'll be accepted. You know, I'll be in the land of majority of redheads. And I was really actually surprised to find that the redheads here are teased just as much, if not more, than the redheads in America. So I don't know really what it is about redheads that people tease, but so anyway, that's my little cause, and it allowed me to write, and I'm having it filmed, so I can make a short film about it. And what's wonderful about it is I'm participating in public art. I'm participating in an artist who I respect in his project, and I'm kind of making my own. So I like it. It's been very good.
And you've developed this character. How did you develop the character, and is this something that you do? You often develop characters as a writer.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's an important part of my work. I write for the theater and radio, and I'm in the process of writing a novel now. So, character development is essential, and it helped in a way because it took the nerves out of it a little bit. I wouldn't be going up there as myself so much. Although I will say that the character is pretty much just fine. There's a lot of me in this character. There usually is with most writers. It really allows me to, explore different areas. And she's kind of taken the mickey a little bit with the, you know, her charity. There are certainly more appropriate charities to be supporting, but in her mind, this is it. This is the ultimate. And this is, her 15 minutes of fame, as it is my 15 minutes of fame. So, it was a good experience just sitting down and thinking, you know, about all aspects of her character. And we even developed a website to try to get the depth in there that's required.
And how are you going to portray your character?
Well, you know, there were a lot of thoughts about that. We thought, okay, should I dress up as a carrot or something on top there? But in the end, I decided just to, you know, just kind of have a really pretty dress designed, because she's kind of a fashionable woman and she's not going to want to make a complete idiot out of, of herself up there. So I had a beautiful kind of 40s style dress designed that's brown and gold that would highlight my hair. And she's just going to stand up there and try to look as beautiful as she possibly can.
And is she going to speak?
Yes, we do have, hopefully, with the sound system will work, there's going to be just a short amount of talking, and then she's got some music done by Redheads to play, and also some ginger biscuits to throw out to the crowd, and a few, they're called See You Jimmy hats in Scotland. They're the little tams with the red hair on the back to throw it so everyone can partake in this redheaded experience. So it should be a lot of fun, I hope.
Can I ask you to say a little bit about your career as a writer and the work that you do?
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, my career as a writer started 10 years ago when I came to this country. I'm originally a corporate refugee, I like to tell people. In America, I had my own business doing marketing and product development, and I was just burned out. So I wanted to come here, and writing is something I've always had a passion for, and passion for reading, and so I thought I'd give it a try, and so I ended up going to uni and getting a master's in it, in dramatic writing, and just kind of took off from there. And so I've written for some Scottish soap operas, and I'm just now I'm in the process of creating something for BBC4 Radio, hopefully, and we'll put this together in a small film and then enter it and see if it takes off. If not, it'll go on YouTube, you know. It's just one of those things. But I'm in the process, as I mentioned earlier, of writing a novel. And I'm about a third of the way through that. That takes up most of my time right now.
And how do you find the transition from your life working in the corporate arena to now being a writer?
That was a big transition, because I was in marketing and sales, and so I was always with people, and I was always entertaining. And I thought I'd had enough of that, and that this would be good, because a writer's life, as we know, is usually very solitary. And so I thought, fabulous, I'll get to be by myself. But it's very tough, actually, being by yourself. And I find I have to be very, very disciplined. So I'm one of these list makers. I make lots of lists. You know, I have to write so many words a day, and then bullet points on everything else I have to get done, because if I don't, I'll just procrastinate. And it's very hard not, you know, I found that I have to make myself like get up and get dressed, because there are days where you think, well, I really don't have to go anywhere, I'll just stay in my jammies, you know, with a cup of coffee and watch, you know, write a little bit, and then, oh, maybe there's a show on at 10 I want to see just for half an hour, then I'll get back to work, and you never do. So it does require a lot of discipline, which was good for me, because I am a procrastinator from way back when. So, yeah, it's a completely different change. It's a change of countries, a change of lifestyles. I met a wonderful man here, so I'm now married, and it's wonderful.
Do you think it's changed you as a person, the change in your career?
Yes, I'm a lot more relaxed than I was before. You can't see this, but I have red hair, big masses of red hair. And I was so stressed at one point working in a corporate field that my hair actually fell out. I was completely bald. And I was not an attractive bald woman. So I didn't know if my hair would ever grow back. And if it did grow back, would it grow back white? Or, you know, who knows? But I was very fortunate in that all my hair grew back. But I think that was my body's way of saying stop the madness, stop the stress. I just was very type A personality, very, you know, working 24/7 kind of thing. And so this actually was very good. I took about 6-7 months off of just doing nothing and traveling around, and then kind of eased myself into this by getting another degree. So my life has completely changed. I'm a lot more relaxed. I still am anxious about some things, but I'm working on that. Yoga helps.
And how did you find the move to the UK?
The move to the UK has been very difficult. And yet it was what I wanted. I wanted to, I'd been traveling to Britain and for about 10 years before I moved here for business. So I knew I loved it. And I loved the people, and I love, the men were great. I thought they were much more mature than the American men. And so when my relationship ended in the States, I thought, well, this is it. I was tired of my business, so I sold my business. I didn't have a relationship. Everything kind of was clear for me to move. So I moved here, and it was great. The one thing that's really tough on me, being born in on the west coast of America in Southern California, is the weather. And I lived in London for a year, and then we moved up to Scotland and to Edinburgh, which I adore. But the weather has been very, very difficult for me. The lack of sunshine in the summer. So there's things, you know, you take vitamin D and you sit in front of a lamp box, a light box if you have to. And, you know, these are just some of the sacrifices you make to have this quality of life. We have one car. And that's almost impossible in America to think about, having just one car, but if there's two of you. And we just have a little quieter life. We live right on the beach in a small town called Kinghorn in Fife. And, you know, I can walk the dog every day, and it's a good life. It's a very good life. And I love here, I love the British people. The Scottish people have welcomed me with open arms as well, so it's been great.
Can I ask you to say a little bit about your upbringing?
Mm-hmm. I had a fairly traditional upbringing. My father was an executive for McDonnell Douglas Aircraft, so he built planes. And my mother was a stay-at-home mom, red-haired lady, which was great because we never lost her in a crowd, and a very funny family, a very, very funny family. So we always, and, you know, just born performers. At Christmas time, everybody had to do perform something, you know, isn't it? And, you know, it's just a fun, funny family. I have an older sister and a younger brother, so I'm the perfect middle child, and with all of its problems that go along with that. And, you know, lovely, just a very kind of traditional, I wish I could say, it's kind of like that 70s show, really. I mean, there really isn't, you know, just a nice upbringing. I had birthday parties. I had, you know, of course I was spanked, but everybody was spanked then, so nothing I can complain about.
And what's California like as a place to grow up?
California was wonderful to grow up in, because I was barefoot most of the time. And, you know, the summers were warm and sunny, and I'd be at the beach trying to be like all the brunettes, trying to get suntan with my little red-haired freckly body. And, you know, so we were always doing lots of outdoor activities. And, you know, it was just a very healthy lifestyle. My mother believed in healthy eating, so she was one of the first people, you know, to buy wheat bread. And, you know, we always had very balanced meals and things like that. And we were always very active. I went snow skiing. What's nice about Southern California is I could, in the wintertime, I could, and in an hour, I could be on a ski slope. And in half an hour, I could be to the beach. So you can't get much better than that, really. And at the time, I was in, you know, in Orange County. There were actual orange groves and orange trees. Now, I don't think there's any orange trees in Orange County anymore. And it's not like the TV show. The TV show. If you're looking at this in the future, don't believe the OC. It wasn't like that. But, you know, it was a nice upbringing. I'll say one thing about California, though, and especially Southern California, that it grew up around the movie industry. And because it grew up in the movie industry, they're very into their looks. And this, I think, is a fundamental problem with California and the U.S. in a lot of ways, is that, but especially in Southern California, they're so into their looks and money. And that was one of the reasons I left. But it's, you know, it's all the big fake boobs and the pulled back faces, and you just, I go back there now and I think the people in my area where I grew up look like aliens almost. And my mother, I said, "My mom, don't they look freaky to you?" And my mother, who still lives there, she says, "No, I think she looks nice." And I think, oh my goodness, I've been away too long and nobody looks normal to me anymore.
You've mentioned being a redhead.
Yes.
Quite a lot. Is this a big part of who you are?
Yes, I think so. I think it is, because I actually think that being a redhead, you know, was fundamental to my personality because I, in order to stave off the jokes, I would joke first. So I'd make the first move, and then nobody could hurt me. Then they'd laugh, and usually then, you know, I'd make friends. So, yeah, I think it does. I mean, I've had strange things. My father used to tell me when I was going out as a teenager, he'd say, put a scarf on. And I never understood why he wanted me to put a scarf on until I realized that I've had an inordinate amount of flashers. And I think it's because they see I stick out in the crowd. So I'm just kind of, you know, targeted for strange men who want to take their trousers down. It's very unusual. So, yeah. So, you know, these kind of things, you either go to therapy for 5 years or you laugh. And my way to deal with everything was just to laugh. And so it's kind of colored my personality, as I would, as to say.
And are you a performer as well? You said you're from a family of performers.
Yes. Well, yeah, I've done theater in America. I haven't done any here. I did a short film here in Edinburgh about 5 years ago, but I really haven't done anything else. Yes, I'm just a performer for my friends and family, actually. But yeah, that's nothing special. I haven't been discovered yet. I'm still waiting.
You're a writer. Do you have a blog or a website?
Yes, I have a blog. I have a blog right now going on the RSPCR website. So that's on rspcr.co.uk. And I don't have anything else other than that right now. I know I should be taking advantage of that medium, but I'm just kind of I'm hesitant. I don't know why. I think I'm still very precious about what I write, and I'm afraid if I just let it out there, it's gone. So I haven't learned yet to just be able to just throw things out and not worry about it. But yeah, so I hope to get more or do a proper blog anyway.
And what does writing give to you personally?
Well, I did a very good exercise about 10 years ago, and I would recommend everybody do it. And that's where you take a piece of paper and you write down the 50 things you want to do before you die. And the big things are always pretty easy. And once you start getting down to the higher numbers, it's gets more and more difficult to find things out. But one of the major things in the top 10 for me was to write a novel. And interestingly enough, none of the 50 things had anything to do with business. And, you know, I had a lot of success in the business world, but it was very difficult for me to leave. And then I had a very good friend said, you know, just because you're good at something doesn't necessarily mean you should be doing it. And so I thought, well, now's the time to take a chance and start writing, and I found it very fulfilling. So I'm very blessed in that I can try to, you know, make a living somewhat out of what I want to do.
And you mentioned that you, since moving to the UK, you've met a partner.
Yes.
Who's your partner?
My partner is Philip Smith, and we met very interestingly on the internet. And before, which it's probably very common now, but then it wasn't so common. But before, I knew I'd sold my business. And I knew I was coming to London for a year, and so I thought I would just hang around and work a little bit. And I didn't know anybody in London, so I started emailing pen friends, and I had 5 people I started talking to, who I'm all still friends with. But one of them was my husband, Philip Smith, and he was fabulous, and he just wrote me these wonderful, exciting emails about he was living on Brick Lane at the time, and he'd look out his window and explain, you know, talk to me about describe the people going down the street and what was happening. It was all very new media area, and he just wrote these really wonderful emails, and so we started talking, you know, several times a day for about 6 months, and it kind of harked back to the days of letter writing, so we had this kind of courtship through letters, only they were electronic letters, and so it was really nice, and it was actually very wonderful as a woman because I felt very safe. I could ask him things that I probably wouldn't have asked him until I'd been dating for 6 years, but I was on the other side of the world, who cares? And so I'd ask him things like, you know, what do you think about women, and do you have any sisters, and what's your religion, and, you know, and because we were just friends anyway. So I really got to know this person, and he's the most wonderful man I've ever met, really. I'm very lucky. He looks like Charlie Brown, and I look like the little red-haired girl who Charlie Brown loves, so we're very happy.
And what's important for you now in your life going forwards? What matters to you most?
Well, that's such a good question. What matters, I think the health and happiness of my friends and family is the most important thing to me right now. And finding a good balance for myself between work and living. And that's something I've always struggled with. So I made a big change by coming to this country and in search of a better life, and I think I found it. And I have a wonderful partner, and we have a dog and a cat. And, you know, life couldn't be much better. So I think I'm very blessed in that sense. But I just, going forward, I hope this just stays. And I hope, you know, we can give to the community and somehow, and, you know, all those wonderful things that people want. But I just hope I keep my husband around for a while. He's a pretty good guy. And we continue to, you know, grow together and find a more passions that we have, and that's it.
Thank you very, very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.